Well, that was perfect timing, Rashawn, because we're going to talk about forgiveness. And he hit me with a volleyball yesterday. It was quite a feat. I was coming with my car into the camp, and I slowed down to say hello to all the people on the beach, rolled down my window, and boom, a volleyball hit me right in the head. And I was impressed with his aim and timing. No, he it was all an accident. He came and apologized because he hit the pastor. But it's a good segue into our lesson on forgiveness. Praise God. We have to make copies of the notes, so we'll put them out later. And if there are any of these lessons that you would be interested in having the notes for, I do have copies, and I'm happy to make them available to you. You can look over them again when you get back home sometime and remember some of these lessons and let the Lord continue to speak to you. Praise God. Okay. So today we're going to talk about forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us. I wish I had my pill, because that's a hard pill to swallow, right? Whenever, I've noticed over the years, whenever the subject of forgiveness comes up in church, in Sunday school, we talk about forgiveness, I always have somebody that says, yeah, but. Yeah, but. But what about this person? What if this person did that to you? And they've got all these questions and excuses and looking for loopholes. There are no loopholes in the teaching on forgiveness. Maybe you want to write that down. There are no loopholes in the teaching on forgiveness. God expects us to forgive. He commands us to forgive. And he gives us the grace to do it. God never commands us to do anything, but that he will give us the grace to do it. And so we have to seek that for that grace. Just like Jesus in Gethsemane. God commanded that he go to the cross. This was the cup his father had given him to drink, this cup of suffering. But he needed grace to do it. And God, so he prayed, and he kept praying until that grace came. And he was able to do the thing that God had commanded him to do. And that's the way it is with us too. And especially along the lines of forgiveness. We have to pray ourselves into the grace of God, or pray the grace of God into us at times. In Luke chapter 11, 4, it says, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us, doesn't it? In Matthew, it says, forgive us our debts. And then it goes on in the sixth chapter to say, and if you forgive men their trespasses, your Father in heaven will also forgive you your trespasses. So we have the word sins and debts and trespasses. Trespasses is a breaking of the law, a transgressing of the law. There are certain laws that we have broken. And I wrote here, when someone wrongs us, we feel as though they owe us something, and that debt has to be settled. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who are indebted to us. I remember as a young person, I was at a youth retreat, and the speaker brought that out so clearly. When someone sins against you and wrongs you, you automatically have this feeling like they owe you something. You know what it's like when someone owes you $10. You want that debt settled. And people talk like that. They owe me an apology, right? They did something to me, and now they are indebted to me. They are obligated to make that thing right. And he says we need to forgive those debts. It's interesting. It says when we pray for forgiveness, we pray as forgive us our sins as we forgive. Forgive us our sins as we forgive. As we continue, maybe it means to forgive others. You know, forgive me as I continue to forgive others, and I keep my heart in the place of forgiving. Maybe it means forgive me in the same way that I forgive others, as I forgive others. Now that gets a little dangerous, because if God forgives you the way you forgive others, you might be in trouble. All right? Jesus goes on to talk about when we forgive, we have to forgive from the heart. Not everybody gets down that far in forgiving. And the other thought is, as we recognize our responsibility to forgive. Forgive me as I continue to forgive others. Keep me in that place, as in the same way that I forgive others, and as I recognize my responsibility to forgive others. There's a story, I entitled it, Feet, Throat, and Heart. And that's found in Matthew chapter 18. Let's look there, okay? Matthew 18, beginning with verse 23. I couldn't help but notice those three body parts, the feet and the throat and the heart. Okay. Verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Here a man owed him so much money that it was impossible to pay that debt back. And yet he said, just have mercy on me, give me more time, and I'll pay you back. And the Lord was so compassionate and had mercy on him, and he realized he could never pay that back, and so rather than punish him, he forgave him. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. He would not. He chose not to. Then the Lord, after that he, so when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then the Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because you desired me. Shouldn't you also have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on you? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your heart forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. What a sobering verse. So likewise my heavenly Father will do also unto you, if you don't forgive from the heart those that sin against you. If we refuse to forgive, Matthew 5:25 tells us that we're put into a spiritual prison. I think that speaks about when you're offering a gift and you realize that you have something against your brother, or he has something against you. Let's see what that says. Matthew 5, 25. Is that right? Does someone have that?
Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny.
Okay, thank you. Here he's talking about if you're bringing your gift to the altar, and you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift at the altar and go your way and be reconciled with your brother. Then come back and offer your gift. And then he says, take care of that as soon as possible. Now, some people feel that Jesus isn't necessarily just talking about an actual judge throwing you into prison, but he's talking about your conscience. He's talking about how the Holy Spirit is dealing with you. And make peace with that conscience. Make things right. Because if you ignore that and you refuse to make things right, you're going to be put into a spiritual prison. And you cut yourself off from the blessing of God. And God, there are some things God will not be able to do for you until you make that thing right, you repent, you reconcile, and then you'll be released to go and enjoy the blessing of God again. I remember as a young person, that was made very real to me. There was a person in the church that was bugging me, and I just developed a little something in my heart against that person. You know, the funny thing about it is they never even knew it. I'll tell you what it was, because it's kind of silly, but we were going to have a concert to raise money for our building fund. And there was a lady in the church who had three daughters that sang. And they sang trios. They've lovely voices. But the mother used to come to our practices. And she used to tell me, your guitar, it's too loud. I can't hear my daughters. Turn that down. And she always interjected something to kind of take charge. And she was becoming a pain in the neck, you know. And, here she is again. We're going to have practice. And she's come. And then she would get up and testify in church. And she really loved the Lord. And her testimonies were lovely. And I used to get blessed by them. But now, after all this going on, I said, oh, brother, we've got to hear her again. You know, she's the one that's just giving us all a hard time. And now she talks about Jesus like she's a big saint. And it was a shame that I felt that way. And anyway, I began to notice at that time in my life that the blessing of God began to dry up. I couldn't feel the presence of God like I did. The joy of the Lord wasn't there. And I was looking all in different places trying to figure out why that was happening. And then I went to that youth retreat. And the pastor talked about when you don't forgive, God puts you in a prison, cuts you off from his blessing. He doesn't forsake you, and it's not that he's sending you to hell, but that blessing that you knew, that presence of God, you lose that, and you don't get it back until you make things right. And boy, did I know God was talking to me. And so I asked the Lord to forgive me for the attitude that I had allowed to develop in my heart. And then the Lord put it in my heart, you need to go ask forgiveness to that woman. Now, that was hard. There are times when God wants us to go now and reconcile with someone. Now, sometimes if they don't know that you had a problem with them, well, you can take care of that between you and God. But if there's been a problem and they're aware of it, you need to make that thing right. Well, I don't think she knew I had a problem, but I still needed to go. And so I said, sister, I just want to ask you to forgive me after church. I said, you know, I just had something in my heart against you. She laughed. And she said, oh, everything's fine. And she gave me a big hug. She loved me all along, even when I was playing the guitar too loud, I guess. She didn't mean anything by what she was doing. And she had always loved me and encouraged me. And when I asked for forgiveness, oh, she was right there to forgive me and just forget it. And we went on loving each other for years after that. But, oh, I didn't like being in that prison. It says here also that if you don't forgive, your Heavenly Father won't forgive you. Right? We read that in Matthew 6:15. And then in Matthew 18, he talks here not only about putting you in prison, but turning you over to the tormentors. Wow, that doesn't sound good. But there's a certain torment. There's a certain that goes along with that conviction and that separation that comes about. In Psalm 32, David talks about the torment that he was experiencing because he was not receiving the forgiveness of God. If you don't forgive them, your Father won't forgive you, and you'll be tormented, and you won't be let out of that prison until you forgive. David speaks about the blessedness of forgiveness in Psalm 32, but then he tells a little bit about what he was going through before he confessed his sin. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my groaning or roaring all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is dried, was turned into the drought of summer. But then I acknowledged my sin, and my iniquity I didn't hide. I said I would confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Praise God. So here David was just miserable. He had sinned with Bathsheba. He had had her husband murdered. He had covered it all over with lies. And he didn't confess that sin to the Lord. And during those days, at night, his pillow became a pool of tears. And he was groaning. He was so miserable. And he lost the blessing of God, the touch of God upon his life, until the Lord sent Nathan the prophet to expose his sin. And then David finally humbled himself and repented and cried out to God for mercy. And so maybe that has something to do with the torment that we experience until we forgive. It's tormenting not to have the forgiveness of God in our lives. And then he tells us there that God will allow that to happen until you forgive from the heart. Forgiving from the heart implies forgiving sincerely. Don't just say, I forgive them, but I don't want anything to do with them. That's not forgiving from the heart. And as an act of your will, you know, when the Bible talks about the heart, it's often referring to the will. In James, it says, purify your hearts, ye double-minded, right? You're double-minded. You choose this, then you choose the opposite, and you go back and forth. It says, purify your hearts, you double-minded. And so Jesus commands us to forgive from the heart. I wonder how much of our forgiving is really from the heart, that we can really say, I forgive from the heart. People are so quick to say, oh, I forgive that person. I forgave them. But I never want to talk to them again. I don't want them to be in my company. Is that forgiving? Is that how God forgives us? I forgive you, but don't come into my presence. Don't try to get near me. Don't talk to me. No. When the Lord forgives us, he never holds that sin against us, ever again. He casts it into the sea of his forgetfulness. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Maybe someone has wronged you. That's the human experience. It's going to happen many times until the Lord returns. And maybe you're having trouble forgiving. Maybe your forgiveness is rather superficial, And it's not real genuine forgiveness. Well, that's where we need to deal with God. Well, you don't want me to just say that I forgive. You don't want me to just act like I forgive. But you want me to truly choose to forgive and to do it with all my heart. It's an act of the will. It's not a feeling. I choose to forgive you. I choose not to bring this up anymore. I'm going to stop thinking about it. I'm going to stop talking about it to others. And no matter how I feel. And if I persist in forgiveness, the feelings will come. The bitterness, the grudge, whatever it is that seated itself in your heart will eventually be removed. But the choice comes first. The will comes first. And so then we have a few questions here. Well, why should we forgive? Well, first of all, because we have a forgiving God. We have a God who is a forgiving, merciful God. That's the one we serve. In Exodus 34, when the Lord was revealing himself to Moses more greatly, and Moses was there in the cleft of the rock, the Lord said that I'm going to pass by you and I'm going to declare my name to you. I'm going to reveal to you who I am, Moses, and give you a fuller understanding and appreciation. Can someone read that for us? Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7.
And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation.
Amen. God's a forgiving God. He doesn't just overlook sin. That's not what his forgiveness is all about. But when there's repentance and looking to God, God is willing to forgive. That's his name. That's what he declares himself to be, who he declares himself to be. Forgiving iniquities. In Psalm 103, verse 3, when we talked about the benefits that the Lord loads us with daily, it says, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. We serve a forgiving God, a merciful, forgiving God. Jesus on the cross, Luke 23, 34, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's God's nature to forgive. And so if we serve a God whose nature is to forgive, then it's right that we also learn to forgive. Another reason why we forgive is because we personally have been forgiven so much. Right? We talked about that. Oh, I was way down deep in sin when Jesus found me. I didn't even realize it, but now I understand it a little bit better, and even then I'm just scratching the surface of the sin. The extent, the depth, the evil that Jesus forgave me when I came to Calvary. Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another as Christ hath forgiven you. Praise God. Jesus has forgiven you a tremendous debt, one that you could never pay back. And you tried and you tried to bargain with him, and he just freely forgave you. And so he wants us to extend that to others. And then it's because we're commanded to forgive. We have a forgiving God. We've been personally forgiven so much. And now we are commanded to forgive. Luke 6:36 talks about loving our enemies. In that portion of Luke, and in the 36th verse, be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. Okay, he lets the sun shine on the good and the bad. He sends rain upon the good and the evil. And he says, listen, your Father is so merciful. and so forgiving. And so he commands you to be like him. Be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. In Ephesians 4:32, I like that. It says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Be kind. You know, this world lacks kindness. It's hard to come by. The whole of society is moving toward a hardness of heart, a lack of kindness toward others. You see that everywhere. You see that in the entertainment world. Those things are presented to us. You see it as you interact with other people. There's just a lack of kindness and consideration, a tender-heartedness. People are hard-hearted, selfish, and unforgiving. But as Christians, that's one thing that people are to see that's different about us. There's a kindness about us, a consideration. We're tender toward other people and their needs. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, just as Jesus has forgiven us. And then I have here the story that we just read or talked about before, about the woman who came in, and she knew she was a terrible sinner, and she somehow knew that Jesus had forgiven her, and she just wept and just poured out her love to him because she had been forgiven so much. To whom is forgiven much, the same loves much. And I think that means that not only do we love God much in return, but we have a capacity then to love others, to love our enemies, and to love those that wrong us, because we realize how much we've been forgiven, and so we're able to love God first of all, and then that love spills over into the lives of others. I like this last passage that I have for you, and it comes from the book of Philemon. Philemon's a beautiful book, an illustration of the forgiveness that Jesus and the Father have extended to us. And you know the story. The Apostle Paul was in prison, and someone else was thrown in the jug, and his name happened to be Onesimus. And he talked with him a little bit and found out that he was a runaway slave, and that his master was a man named Philemon, friend of the Apostle Paul. And Onesimus, it seems to imply that he stole some money from Philemon, and then he took off and ended up in Rome. And the Lord arranged that he would meet up with the Apostle Paul. And while he was there, Paul no doubt ministered to him. Philemon became a brother in Christ. And now Paul says, now you've wronged Philemon, and you need to go back and make this right. And he knew that if he went back, he could be severely punished for running away from his master. And so Paul writes a letter to Philemon in behalf of Onesimus. And he appeals to their friendship, first of all. And then he says, I'm writing to you in behalf of my brother Onesimus. If he has wronged you, or if he owes you anything, put that on my account. I'll take care of it. Then he goes on to remind him, but you owe me too. But, you know, and it's a beautiful picture of Jesus, you know, appealing to the Father on our behalf. And we're the sinner. We're the runaway slave. We're the one that has broken the law and sinned and offended our God. And Jesus, of course, the Apostle Paul represents Jesus, our mediator, the one who intercedes for us, the one who took on himself the punishment for our sin already. And so he tells Philemon, whatever Onesimus did for you, blame it on me, and I'll take care of it. You know, when I think of people sinning against me, Jesus says, well, blame it on me. Cast that sin on me. Cast that blame on me. I've already paid the price for that sin. It's been all taken care of. And so you can forgive and you can forget. Put it on my account. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. Not just your sin, not just my sin, but everybody's sin. And so when someone sins against me, I need to recognize Jesus died so that my sins could be forgiven, and Jesus died so that their sins could be forgiven. And if he's willing to forgive, and who am I to hold a grudge? Now, I know that it's easy to talk about these things, but it's not so hard to do them if you get hold of the grace of God. God has grace. We've heard wonderful stories over the years of people that have forgiven some of the most horrific abuses that you can imagine. And it's good to hear those stories. And because then you say, well, if that person could find grace to forgive the person of that after doing that to them and treating them that way, surely I can find grace to forgive this wrong that was done to me, this little offense. And you know, you got to start there. Start with the little things. Develop a heart of forgiving. Develop the habit of doing so. Whenever you go to prayer, look into your heart and say, Lord, now, is everything right between me and you, first of all my sins under the blood? And then is everything right between me and my brother? Someone might be mad at me, but I can't always control that. All I can do is control what's in my heart. That's what I'm responsible for. And as much as lieth in you, live at peace with all men. Sometimes it's not possible to live with certain people in peace because they refuse to. But as far as you're concerned, let there be forgiveness. Let there be kindness. Let there be reconciliation as much as you can. And so when I come to prayer, Jesus taught us, forgive us our sins in the same way as I continue to forgive those that have sinned against me. God has help for you today. Maybe there's someone here that struggles. We all do at times. And maybe it's a little offense. Maybe it's something very serious. But God has grace for you. And as I said, with this subject of forgiveness, you have to pray into the grace of God, or pray the grace of God into your life. Lord, pray for that person. Bless those that persecute you and speak ill of you. Pray that God will bless them. Don't wish evil on them. Commit them to the Lord. And as you continue to pray and choose to forgive, the grace of God will fill your heart, and he'll turn that bitterness into love, and maybe he'll bring you into a more precious relationship with that person than you ever had before. That's happened too. Praise God. So let's get hold of the grace of God today, shall we? Amen. We're going to look to the Lord. Let's see what we can sing that might speak to us about forgiveness. Is there a song that you can think of? Praise God. How about my Jesus, I love thee, because I've been forgiven so much. Number 40 in our hardcover book. Now, today is our day of prayer on Wednesdays. For those that would like to remain to wait on God, we'll keep this room available for that until lunchtime, or till the first bell anyway. First bell rings at 12 o'clock, and then you have a half hour to get ready to get down to the palace. So, again, I ask that after the meeting, if you're not staying, you have other responsibilities, or, well, then please exit, and we'll go right to prayer here. Praise God. Okay. Thank you. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee, all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we open our hearts to you today, and we ask that you will give us the grace to forgive. We pray, Lord Jesus, oh God, from the heart, if there are issues that are yet unresolved, Jesus, God, we don't want that to stand in the way of our experiencing you and your blessing and allowing that blessing to flow from us unhindered. And so, God, don't let us get away with it, Lord, but we pray that you'll bring us to a place of real repentance. And, Lord, we pray that you'll change these relationships and bring them to where you want them to be. We ask it all in your precious name. Amen. Praise God. God bless you. Thank you for your kind attention. Again, those notes, we'll print them up, and if you want to look at those verses a little more closely, I'll have them on the pulpit here for you throughout the day. Thank you. Praise God.